I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Schieffer, joined by co-host Mike Breeling and co-host Ben Spreen. Last podcast, we had a lot of Ticon talk. I'm glad Logan was able to join us. We'll join you guys. I could not make it. I was on the road in a Mazda 3 somewhere in Tennessee. But that was some fun Porsche talk. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed the rant. Wanted to start right off, just continue on the Porsche train. Not that we're like all fanboys, but I think in some ways we are.
They make good cars for the most part.
Exactly. I just spent some time in Malibu with Porsche, with Shelby from Porsche, driving all the e-hybrid cars. All of them except for the one that Kyle already made a video on, which was the Cayenne Coupe e-hybrid.
Which is my favorite.
Your favorite, really? It does look good
because I'm weird, so it fits me. I just like the Cayenne Coupe. I think the plug-in version of it is awesome, or the Panamera and just the wagon. Just get it out of the way.
Panamera wagon.
So I started with, well, it's funny. The video, which will be coming out soon, or might be out by the time this is up, it starts with me in the, let's see if I can get this right, Porsche Panamera 4S e-hybrid Sport Turismo, right? The wagon Panamera e-hybrid in 4S trim. Yeah, that's a lot. I think it was like 14 syllables. It's a lot of car. But it was fantastic. I mean, I had driven Taycan Sport Turismo, and Panamera just felt like very similar, with like extra fun twin turbo V6 noises. But that's how the video will start. I actually had to do it in kind of a different order because of other people there. So I started right off with jumping in the Turbo S e-hybrid, which is 690 horsepower of twin turbo V8. Magical. I don't know. It was too much, honestly. I mean, can power be too much? I don't know. But it was very spicy. But I surprised myself in finding that the 4S, yeah, I felt like the 4S was, to me, kind of like how I felt about Taycan GTS, where it was like the mid-spec that just does everything well, and it's like the logical one to buy for most people. And I actually, in some ways, liked it more than Turbo S, because I felt like I was able to use a bit more of the car rather than the car using me. And I liked the slightly extra turbo noises you get from the 4S over the Turbo S, because the Turbo S, you hear the V8 over the turbos, versus the 4S and the 4, you hear the turbos along with the six-cylinder engine. And I think the 4S had a bit more turbo noise than the 4. I also drove the 4 e-hybrid, which was still extremely impressive. I was like, this is all the car anyone needs.
Oh, yeah.
It's still like 455 horsepower. So
yeah,
it's not going to be too bad.
It's a lot. How much horsepower is in a Taycan, like Logan's Taycan 4? I don't know.
479 horsepower thereabouts, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
Or four, it's like high 400s, I believe, yeah, with launch control activated or overboost, however you want to phrase
no
it.
No slouch. The 4 launched like nothing else. And the 4 had the new PCM 6.0, which was cool. So I get in, plug in my phone, and boom, CarPlay full width on the whole screen. And I was so happy, and that probably colored my opinion of that car.
Well, I mean, like, they do actually
have that.
Yeah.
Taycan launched with, we'll call it PCM 6.0 beta, unfortunately, maybe. and now for, I think it's like I guess it was this 2022 model year. Now, basically everything but the Macan got the same system, which is nice. So it's all uniform amongst the brand, which is good.
Yeah, I landed in LA. I went straight there from Italy. It was a long, long day of traveling, and got in a Macan, which also, it was a base Macan, which is actually kind of fun. I think that was like another reasonable spec, because it's still a good car for most people. It's one of those things. Getting into then the Cayenne Turbo e-hybrid was like night and day different. I will say I enjoyed doing Cayenne and Panamera e-hybrids back to back because it highlighted the benefit, I think, of the Panamera having PDK versus Cayenne having Tiptronic. The PDK was a noticeable better experience, although the Tiptronic was a noticeable more, this is like an SUV. I don't know why. Like, I think it would have been better with PDK, but just being a Tiptronic, it's like, I feel like with SUVs, you just expect to feel a bit more of the shifting, and you did. And weird.
And they need a gearbox, because I think Cayenne can tow like over 7,000 pounds or something.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to do that on a dual clutch just for the sake of those clutches.
I wish I could have towed with the Cayenne in electric mode just to see how it would do. Because you get 134 horsepower, and it's so funny that you can e-launch it, which was, isn't that such a weird experience? Like, it's like,
it, I would not have to try this after being told, because I did not realize that you could do this. Like, it's one thing to have a hybrid with launch control. Sure, that happens. Usually it involves both the engine and the electric motor, but Porsche will let you do launch control with just the electric motor, which is kind of goofy, but also kind of awesome.
Yeah, you can do both. Like, Porsche just gives you everything. Like, you can launch full or launch in only electric, which gives you that jolt, and then it suddenly is like, oh wait, I'm actually slow.
That first 25 feet, you get a good jolt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why we all like Porsche in general, is that they think of those things like that only generally like people like us would think of. Oh, can I launch my e-hybrid in just electric mode if I have battery charge? Like, not your normal person's gonna try that, nor. So it'd be one of us. And sure enough, Jordan tried it.
Yep,
Ben didn't even know about it, and he works for Porsche.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Kyle didn't know either. I watched Kyle's video like 4 times on the plane ride over there, just to see what he covered in his e-hybrid review of the Cayenne. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do everything else. I did obviously duplicate things, because the idea is people would watch both videos. I took more of the approach of like someone shopping for e-hybrid. What would they want to see across the various trims and things you can get, and roughly how it would compare to like a Taycan. Because the idea with e-hybrid is you want electrification, but maybe not fully electric. And Porsche also has a different approach to hybridization. It seems like a lot of other people are like, it's purely for the environment. And obviously Porsche has that into consideration and it looks good for PR, but also Porsche's like, how can we make this also make it more powerful and better? Which I guess to some extent, most people do inevitably, like the Prime RAV4 is the second most powerful Toyota. So it's still having that electric motor helps. And
Porsche's first hybrid was the 918 supercar. So I feel like they, They're like, oh yeah, we developed the e-hybrid technology on a previous vehicle, and the previous vehicle had, you know, like was one of the quickest cars of its time.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Like they were like, how do we, this electric motor is 150 horsepower. Oh, if we throw this in there, now we've got an extra 100 horsepower plus. That's how they view it, I think. They're kind of reverse a little bit of it.
Yeah. Well, that was the first plug-in hybrid. They had parallel hybrid in 2010, 2011. And they had...
Yes, that's true, yeah.
And Porsche, the family, not Porsche the company, had a hybrid in 1900 called the Semper Vivus.
His first car, in fact. His first vehicle was electric and hybrid, pretty much.
Good yeah. roots right there.
It's amazing he never shocked himself and made it as far enough to start a car company based off of like the backyard engineering. I think it was in the attic of the house or something.
Wow. Yeah. That's, yeah. Glad he survived. And the last thing I'll mention is the interesting point that the transmission is between, or sorry, the electric motor is between gas motor and transmission, which is the same way Jeep does it. Does anyone else do that too?
BMW, Land Rover do.
Okay. Yeah. It's an interesting.
The only ones I can think of. The Hyundai, what was it? Kia Sorento Hybrid has it there, but it wasn't a plug-in, the one we drove.
Yeah, that one was a plug-in. So the plug-in one probably does. I don't know if I don't think Volvos operate that way. I think
the new Volvos have an electric motor on the front axle now. Right.
Yeah, all
the extended range. No, the extended range PHEVs maybe, but they also have the motor in the rear, so I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of Volvo, Mike, what did you buy?
So, yeah, no, what's funny is if you follow me on Twitter, you've definitely already seen the post about my new to me Volvo. I actually did film a video with it, but there's no way it's going to be out before this podcast is. So if you listen to the podcast, you're getting a sneak peek. So what I did was I ended up selling my Mini Cooper SE. Yes, I know, sad day. I will miss the Mini. I did order it. I did enjoy the car. But it made a lot of sense to try and sell it at the time when I did, and it worked out great. So I ended up buying a 2020 Volvo V60 Cross Country. Now, in America, you can only get the T5. So unfortunately, there's no T6, or more importantly to me, there's not a plug-in sold in America of this car. But absolutely love it. What drew me to this one was that I did actually own a Volvo prior. I owned a 2019 V90 R-Design, T5 R-Design as well. That car was basically just your normal wagon, kind of slammed on the ground, looked awesome with 20-inch wheels. And I kind of missed having a Volvo after just reading about them, seeing them all over the place again. And I happened to just see an ad online at a dealer that was somewhat local to Raleigh that they had this V60 and it said rare, like on this banner going across the screen, rare. And when I checked on it, it was pearl white, which I really like their crystal white metallic. Over, more importantly though, the City Weave interior. So Volvo's interior, this right here, the City Weave, for those of you who can't see, it's basically like a really cool tweed textile material and leather seat. Looks amazing, feels really cool. Generally, I've only ever seen this on a really base model V60, because that was the only two cars that they offered it on, were the Cross Country and then the non-Cross Country. And another aspect of this car, which makes it even more amazing, is that it actually has Bowers & Wilkins sound system, which...
This is just unbelievable. The spec on this is...
it's crazy. And it has the advanced package, too. So you got the full pilot assist system, the heads-up display, Bowers & Wilkins, which actually on the V60 is the most expensive way you can option Bowers & Wilkins new from the factory. It's the only car where it's $4,000. All the other cars is $3,200. I'm barely positive.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because your starting point is that much cheaper. Because some of the other cars have, you know, more, I think, expensive sound system in them since they're larger, would be my guess. Mm. You know, like a XC90 is already going to have a few more speakers than an S60 or a V60, maybe.
But the Harman Kardon is the same price across the board. But either way, I mean... Well, if I were to order a V60 new, it would basically be this way. So I didn't have to do that. Someone had already done it for me. Yep. Absolutely incredible spec. I still can't believe I found a V60 cross country with City Weave interior and Bowers and Wilkins. Unbelievable.
That's I can't think of a better car. Even the exterior color, interior spec, the options, it's literally perfect.
And it'll be perfect in Colorado one day. So
you're gonna, you're gonna road trip it out here or move out here. What are we looking at?
The plan is kind of like battle wagon style a little bit with this car. So maybe a little bit of an aggressive all-terrain tire, not too aggressive, but like a decent one.
Yeah,
hit some light trails with it. Surprisingly, this V60 cross country has 8.2 inches of ground clearance, which is quite a lot for what that car is. And I think Volvo does actually quote ground clearance with, you can get different rankings of it, but depending on how many people you have in your car. So they actually do weigh it out. It's kind of funny.
They give you 0, 1, and 2 people, which I find odd. I don't know how you drive it with one without
zero.
At least one person, but I think about it though, I bet you most manufacturers quote their ground clearance with no one in the car. So it's kind of cool that Volvo at least gives you that with one passenger. When you Google it, it comes up on their website. We're all next to each other, which is nice.
We need a community-fed ground clearance metric, kind of like those Gas Buddy, apps where you can FYI, because in high school, one of my friends had a Scion XB. Was that the really boxy one, the small one?
Yes.
Yeah.
We fit 11 of us in there and drove allegedly a couple miles down the road. I could have measured the ground clearance on that thing.
I mean, actually, that's probably just like a normal day in like New Delhi.
Failed suspension or full of 11 people. No difference.
Unfortunately, my V60 does not have air suspension. It's the one option they didn't select, but oh well, what can you do?
That's all right. That's one less thing to break, honestly.
Exactly. And Volvos all ride really well this generation. Volvo does a really great job with their suspension. But super happy, very excited. I know it's a gas car, and why would you buy a gas car right now with gas prices being so high? But generally, for my job, very short commute, I get cars occasionally sometimes, and it's actually pretty efficient. It gets about 34 miles per gallon on the highway, which is not too bad for what it is.
Yeah.
And to put it in perspective, in just over 6 months, you put 2,200 miles or whatever on the Mini?
2,800 miles on the Mini, thank you.
So, gas mileage is not really, and fuel cost isn't really, it's a rounding error at this point.
Yeah, I think I did 3,000 miles in a week, a couple weeks ago on the Miata.
No, I've never done that. Except for my trip, maybe when I drove to Connecticut and back, that might have been 3,000 miles combined.
Well, congrats. I cannot wait to see this thing.
I can't wait to bring it out there. Trust me.
It's so perfect.
I can't wait to drive it through a big pile of mud.
Yes.
White cars look pretty awesome with mud.
It'll basically be like the classy version of a Subaru Wilderness.
A much better version. and very welcome out here where all I see is Subaru Wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen a lot more around Raleigh too. It is crazy. I think I see more of those almost than just a normal Outback at this point.
Yeah, nearly.
The amount of wagons I saw in Italy made me kind of depressed to come back to the States. Mm-hmm. Just like leaving the airport in Florence, the first thing I see is an Alfa Romeo something wagon. I don't know the Alfa Romeo cars enough, but I was just like...
That's what I'm super excited for, our trip to Germany, which is this week. Actually, by the time this podcast airs, we will, all of us now on this podcast, will be in Germany. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited to see all the...
And we have wagons.
And yes, we have a wagon.
The as first, possible. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. We won't spoil everything. We will do some shows from Europe and just have a blast over there. So be sure to follow, like, subscribe, whatever you do with podcasts. And obviously our comment. YouTube channels. Comment.
Just yell at your radio in the car that you like us, whatever.
Actually, let me take advantage of this moment. Up front, rate this podcast, because that's actually what helps the algorithm the most to recommend to other people on podcast platforms. Because there's a lot of people on searching for automotive podcast platform or podcasts, and give it a rating, even if you don't type anything. But, type anything. We want to hear comments, questions, concerns, constructive criticism. We appreciate all of that. But we will be in Europe soon, in the land of wagons. So my driver picked me up. He was in a, I don't know, mid 2010s Mercedes E-Class with like 390,000 kilometers on it. Mm-hmm. And my face was glued to the glass looking at all the cars. He thought I was like the weirdest tourist ever. Because we're in like a really boring section of Florence. And I'm just like, that's the new Fiat 500e. That's an Alfa Romeo wagon. That's like, yeah. That's a BMW wagon we don't get.
The first time I left, I guess not the first time I went internationally, the first time specifically to Europe I visited, like, I mean, if you're a car enthusiast, traveling to another continent, especially that has, you know, very different vehicles, is so fun because you see stuff you've never seen, and they're perfectly mundane cars. Like, first time I was in the UK, I think I have a photo of it on my phone, probably in my Google Photos still, of like, it was a Vauxhall Astra wagon, but it was a panel van version, so it didn't have back doors or back glass. Yep. Like, it, the most mundane thing ever, and I was like so pumped to see it. And in like South Africa, we even saw the ugliest BMW ever, the E46 Compact. If you've never heard of it, look it up. It's terrible.
It's very ugly.
It's like the E36 Compact, where they like shortened it up, the little hatchbacky thing, except they made the whole front end awful.
Same time. Everything over there is compact, like hatchbacks. Mm-hmm. Like where you go to, let's say, a Macy's or a mall in the US and you look at the parking lot, it's all mid-sized CUVs, everything. Yeah, and a lot of pickup trucks. Mm-hmm. And then over there it was just all Fiat 500 sized and shaped cars, just everything. From Renault and Citroen and all the companies we don't even get over here, really. So I was obsessed. I even saw a micro car, which was pretty cool looking.
Hey.
But yeah. One? I'll have to see if I can pull up the photo.
you gotta be prepared. This is important, what the people need to know.
I know. This is like real important. But I was over there ABB. I guess I should mention that, which I'm grateful they brought me over to see kind of the grand opening, per se, of their factory in Valdarno, which it's not the opening. Like, they opened it over a year and a half ago, I think. And it's where 80% of their charging infrastructure was built last year, which is a lot. Since 2010, I think they've made 680,000 charging units. 30,000 of which were DC fast chargers. So they do a lot over there. I wish I could share multiple windows, but I'll do it this way. This is the microcar I saw, if, for all of our watching listeners.
And behind it, a Lancia. I don't remember what it is. It a Thema, I think it is. A dreadful car. Yeah. Very bad. But exciting nonetheless. Because we don't have it.
Yeah, there's a
Dacia Duster. I actually am like kind of really excited to see a Sandero.
Oh, Panda.
Like, I'd have, but that's not the 4x4 Panda.
No,
that's the one that I have.
And this was a Ranger with a roof box thing,
like an kind arrow. Of
with cool steelies. Wow. Yeah, that was like the biggest truck I saw, and the biggest SUV I saw was a Cayenne.
Probably a lot of Cayennes.
I also saw this sweet Volvo, an electric, basically trash truck that ABB either partnered with or helped create to help test their charging infrastructure for giant vehicles, basically. So they're working with a lot of electric buses to have like depot charging, but also see if I can. I don't think I got like an actual photo of that, but there's
the electric BMW 3 Series Touring.
Yep. And then what
stuff in the back.
What was this? I can't remember what it was called.
Is that a that's not iWays. That's is that a Lincoln Co?
It's a Lincoln Co. Yeah.
It is, isn't it? It's a Lincoln Co.
I just watched a video on that. Like, why can't I remember what it is?
Yeah, I couldn't
remember.
It's an
XC40, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
And they come in black and blue.
And
I think they're cool.
This is the new Terra 360 from ABB, which we will get to see in Germany, but we won't have them stateside until later next year.
Is that a self-contained 360 kilowatt cabinet?
Yes, self-contained.
So it doesn't have a separate Oh, wow.
It can charge four vehicles at once and do dynamic sharing. So if one cuts its charging to like 30 kilowatts at the top of the pack, something else can take more. So it's 360 divided by four or two, or however the division needs to work, but up to a total.
I wonder how dynamic the division is, because I think some of these units, you know, inside of it have maybe like 25 kilowatt conversion stats each of them. So it can only do it so granularly, but 30. I bet this 30.
I'm almost positive it's 30. That's the granularity. So
as long as there's an extra 30, it's going to give it to the right car. That's cool. I love the ABB branded smart electric drive. That's like matte
with
gray.
The matte. Yeah.
I was going to say that e-tron would need all of that extra stuff.
And it was really weird seeing all the Teslas plugged into CCS. Yeah, it's just a different land entirely.
Europe has just got it made over there. And I see a tractor. I'm just going to derail us. I want to know about this tractor.
Lamborghini.
I knew there was a reason you took a photo of a tractor.
Oh, 100%. Everyone did. Like, they brought us here to like do this really beautiful
that's gorgeous.
Yeah, this really beautiful wine meal in the middle of a vineyard. Like, that's where we were staying, was in these hills. And we show up and all we do is go straight to the tractor. Which all the tractor did was pull the crate over that had all the wine. But, you know, you put journalists in front of a tractor that says Lamborghini on it, what do you expect? It was kind of fun and refreshing being the only American at this whole like event, so that was different. They had people from, I guess, France and UK and Germany and Switzerland and Canada is American, but she was French Canadian, so very different. But that was Italy in a nutshell. So that was my first trip outside the U.S. and many, many more to come. So,
yeah. Wow, so you just got your passport stamped right from Italy. Very, very got first it. Country you went to. Couldn't be Canada. Let's just go to Italy.
Honestly, I feel like I barely scraped the surface. Like, I need to see all of Italy, especially my driver. He was, you know, native to Florence area, but he's done everything. And he was like, oh, yeah, you have to go to Pagani and Maserati and Ferrari and Lamborghini. And just he just kept talking. And I was like, yep, I got it. OK, I'll be back. Plus wine and the cars and the people And that's just Italy. There's so many more countries. So we'll be doing some in Germany. And I don't know what else.
So on the topic of international travel, do either of you have a hit list of cars that you want to see in Europe? Because I have like three.
The Dacia Sandero.
Yes, gotta see that. Because last time I was in Europe, I was in the UK, and it wasn't introduced in the UK yet. They weren't going to bring it there, so I didn't have a chance to see one. It was a meme at that point, at least. So now I want to see one. Even if we have to go to a Dacia like dealer, I don't care.
We could be those Americans who go to the Dacia dealer and beg to test drive one.
I'm not going to waste their time on the test drive. I just want to see one. If they will entertain us, sure. Like if the guy's bored, maybe. But I don't want to take their time. But I'm just going to see it.
Knowing Kyle, we'll end up buying it.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
See the Peugeot 608 SW. GT line. That is a great looking wagon.
Yes.
And then literally any Cupra. They all look cool to me.
Yes.
So I want to see what those little things. We'll probably see some of that stuff with Volkswagen, I'm sure. But
I hope to see an Alpine A110.
There's a good spot. That's a hit list car for sure.
Yeah. This hit list is a good idea.
They'll be out summer.
And what else? Oh, I saw a funky like four-door smart car. I forgot that existed.
Smart for four.
Yeah.
The smart for four.
Have you ever seen the commercial for that, by the way?
No.
It's one of the best commercials I've ever seen. It's, you don't know it's a four-door smart, but they're driving and they're like, oh, I'm going to go parallel park. There's like two guys in the front seat. And then he, you know, like lines up parallel park, puts his hand, you know, over and looks backwards and then screams because there's a person behind him and he wasn't expecting it.
That's it's really clever. One of the most
brilliant commercials ever. And then he gaps and he's like, and then it just says, you know, smart for four. So nimble, you'll forget you have back passengers, something like that. But It's a funny commercial. I always like that one.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. Simple. No one's going to get upset by it. It's not going to, you know, there's no political incorrectness. It's just simple fun.
It's
not hard.
I'll also freak out if I see like a Daihatsu Copen or a Smart Roadster.
Ooh, Smart Roadster.
Yeah, the Roadster would be interesting. I would freak out if I saw a Renault Avantime. So that would be
We should see one of those.
Oh, yeah. So cool. That car's.
We should probably start writing these down.
We should, you know, how they have like the bird, bird spotting books.
Yeah.
Like check them all off. There's got to be like
the big year
car enthusiast car spotting book.
Do you guys know the movie The Big Year with Owen Wilson, Steve Martin, and Jack Black?
I know what it is. I've never seen it.
Those three, and Jim Parsons has a fantastic cameo. That is a great movie. A big year is what it's called when you spot every species of bird in the world. That's called a big year. And there's like 711 species. Absolutely need that for cars, where you spot all 700 cars or whatever by traveling the world. And you have to get a photo of each car. That's how the big year works too. You have to photograph every single bird.
Wow, that's a lot of work. I feel like you have to be retired to do that.
Yeah, you have to either
pretty much
quit everything or be retired.
Yeah. The big year in car form, wouldn't that be thousands of cars? Like, I mean, each manufacturer alone. Yeah. And some of them are only made in one country.
And I mean, it depends how granular you get, because it's like, okay, would you consider different generations of a single make and model, or just the make and model?
One general make and model, you know. I don't know.
I don't know. That's interesting.
If you can see on the screen here, I've already started it. The car hit list.
Perfect.
Add to it.
Yep. Okay.
The 608 station wagon, the Dacia Sonera, the Alpine A110. What else was there? I'll add yours all in here because we'll all be together.
Yeah, Smart Roadster.
Smart Roadster.
I'm already forgetting.
I know.
I want to see another one of those. I'll pull up the photo of it. The wagon I saw. The Alfa Romeo something or other.
Is it a Brera or 159?
Yeah, the front end would be. It looks pretty.
159.
Yeah, I should have told my driver to chase
it. Wait, hang on. Leave that out. I'll just use Google Lens and it'll tell me exactly what that is. Because smartphones are amazing. Let's see. Alfa Romeo 159. Hey, I actually had that one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a good looking car.
It really is. So, yeah, we're excited for Europe. And it was fun to go straight to. I went from the hills of like Tuscany County to Malibu, which is Italy of California. And actually, a lot of similarities.
Was it really after?
Yeah. although in the hills of, I wish I had my phone, but it was a bit sketchy to take photos on these roads while driving. So I didn't. I played it safe. But in the hills of Malibu, I saw my first GV60 driving around.
That's cool.
Light blue color. So that was really cool. Yep. And it looked pretty decent, actually. Looked fine. So
yeah, we all hated on it big time when we first.
Yeah, we did. Yep. Previous podcast, we probably lost some super fans of the GV60. I don't know.
We all basically tore it apart, and now we're like, yeah, it doesn't look that bad.
Yeah.
I still think the front end looks like the blobfish.
I don't think
it's a bad looking car. I just don't think that nose thing it works for me. But I'm, you know, I got to see it in person still.
So. Yeah, you're not wrong. Kyle's dad
has one on order. So.
We should mention Kyle cannot make it. He's out with his Rivian. That's new news on our podcast. Is we have a Rivian. We have a Model S Plaid. Kyle's been busy buying things to make insane amounts of content with, and that's where he's right now. He's at the launch of Rivian's DC fast charging network, which is super cool. Which I guess Rivian Adventure Network, so RAN is the acronym. Someone was asking me what ABB stands for, and I was like, well, it's an acronym made of two joint acronyms. So it literally makes no sense. It's just people's names. That's why everyone just says ABB. But yeah, Kyle works. Is DC fast charging his Rivian on Rivian's own hardware, which is super cool. And I'll be excited to see that pop up more and more. Yep. So this is the first one, I think, in Salida, but they'll have more in other towns. I think the next one will be California and then another one somewhere else. So,
and is gradually, it open? It's not open, right?
I don't know. I thought it was because he was determined to be there today and put the video up today because he was determined to be the first public person to use it and put a video out on it. But yeah,
I'm sure everyone's screaming at their podcast listening device right now, like, of course yep. it's open or closed.
Yeah.
And, like, I can't remember because it was so long ago that they announced everything because they've been at it for so long.
And he got the Plaid, which is, you know, just a beast of a car. He got it in black with the aero wheels because, you know, obviously we want to do some range testing and spec stuff with that. But also the plan was all along to get Martian wheels, I think 20 by 10.5 with some special, I think Mercedes Michelin Pilot Sport 4S with foam inside them tires. So we'll see how much of a crazy beast this will be on track. He ordered bigger, better brakes. So it's going
to
be
Mountain Pass. Shout out to those guys at Mountain Pass Performance.
Mountain Pass. So yeah, Mountain Pass and Martian wheels is getting our Plaid up to spec. And then also a fantastic detailing shop is putting the final touches on it for, cause the paints wasn't the best.
No, when
he received it. yeah, but it's getting work done on it now. So we'll see. We'll see how that looks afterwards, but I've seen some pretty shiny photos of it. So, and he's keeping the Model 3. I talked him into it finally.
That'll be the high mileage car right there.
The high mileage. Yeah. I'm hoping to just pile miles on the 3 like crazy. Cause I really do want to be, you know, not the first maybe, but like one with a Model 3 Performance with 500,000 miles at some point. Maybe not too distant future. I don't know, depending on how much. But yeah, big shout out to Clear.
All these cars.
Yeah, big shout out to Clear Detailing. I think they're doing the Model S and also our Rivian. So getting them all spiffed up. And the Rivian, we're going to put on some like off-road wheels and tires. It came with a 22s, which we're not mad about because it handles like a dream on those.
And it looks so awesome on the 22s. It really does.
It's I'm starting to see them a lot, like daily, and it still turns every head. I mean, we took the Rivian up Pikes Peak for the Pikes Peak hill climb, and people were just like looking at it like crazy, which was a blast. And people kept walking up to it wondering, you know, all the usual, like, how does it charge, what's the range, what's the gear tunnel, where's your camp kitchen? We're like, yeah, where's our camp kitchen?
Yeah, where is that?
So hopefully, I would love to take it up next year, Pikes Peak, and actually do some cooking and stuff out of it if we can get the camp kitchen by then.
See, I think the there's so much untapped potential with that gear shuttle that the kitchen mounts to.
Yes.
Because I don't need a camp kitchen. I am not the handiest person in a kitchen. What I need is the camp refrigerator, microwave, air fryer. That's kind of what I need. That would be perfect
for camp. That's the camp college kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I need. You open the refrigerator, it'll be just like condiments and like some frozen foods.
Yeah. I need a freezer, air fryer, so I can do my chicken nuggets from Costco.
Yeah. I want Totino's pizza rolls out on top of a mountain.
The gear tunnel you can also use to store like tools in. Like, I saw a picture on Twitter of a Rivian service truck that was a retired press vehicle. R1T. And in the gear tunnel, it had like toolbox drawers and like drills mounted on the side, like the curved section of it. So you could pull out like all these drawers with all the stuff in it. It was really cool. It's like, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's the whole Cyberlander thing. I think the market is actually going to end up being those little Rivian gear tunnel shuttle mounted, because it's like a mounting rail system, with power outlets. Like, that's going to be where creative stuff happens. There's, you know, we're thinking like a microwave, a freezer, food, stuff like that. But there's going to be so many other really clever things, I think, that people will do that. Maybe even like some sort of portable air conditioner that charges up off the outlet while running, or, you know, to cool your tents, or
things we haven't even
maybe even a small idea as to what someone could do.
Yeah. You could get custom totes, so I could pull it out and have like, I don't know, 7 cubic feet of Legos. Like, there's a lot of options out there.
I mean, emergency Lego supply. We're out in the middle of nowhere. No, you pull up at the charger. All right, time for some Legos.
Yeah. A fold out.
Or Lego. TV. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't want to upset anyone.
Yeah, all caps. yep, we did lots of stuff with the Rivian and the Lightning. Which is a lot of fun to compare them, which is funny because, like, I don't feel like they should be cross-shopped, but everyone is cross-shopping them because they are the electric trucks.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that intentionally because, honestly, the Hummer EV to me is not an electric truck. Maybe on a technicality it is, but that's not even the same remote buyer pool. Whereas Rivian and F-150 Lightning, they're people who are both interested in electric trucks. I feel like there's an obvious right answer for each of them, but they're trying to figure out which one. Versus they don't
think
even
the
have
Hummer EV would get cross shot with a C8 Corvette more likely than anything.
Yes.
I don't want to call it, I hate to say this, I don't want to say it's a midlife crisis car, but it's sort of just like you're buying it because look at it. It's big, it's brash, it's, you know, it's got that.
I'm gonna correct you. It's not cross shopped, it's joint shopped. I mean, you're going joint to buy shopped. The Hummer EV and then also the C8 Corvette.
yeah, you see that when you walk in, you're like, oh, wait.
Yeah. You arrive to the Chevy dealership in your Hummer to pick up your Corvette. Yeah. So I don't know. Lightning was good. It was the maxed out one, ironically, like way more expensive than the Rivian, which is funny. I mean, not way more, but 94 grand. That's a lot of money for an F-150. And I think it reinforced our imagination that the standard Lightning would be just fine.
Completely agree. I've still not seen the Lightning around Valley on the road yet.
No.
Yeah.
Seen a couple of Rivians, though. They're already making their way out here.
The only Lightning people have seen around here, I think, is TFLs because they bought one.
Yeah, that's not surprising. I've seen a Rivian, a couple of them now, but
yeah. They're popping up.
Hit out here as quickly as we do Colorado, I'm sure.
I still have yet to see a Compass Yellow Rivian in the wild. That's like what I'm super excited for.
Nope. Yeah, I want to see that too. Because that's if I were to do R1S in the future, which maybe would be a Taycan replacement, that would be the color.
Yep.
And I'm going to make everyone mad because they're probably going to want to do that with Forest Edge green interior.
Yeah.
I don't even care. Because I like that interior and I like that color, and I don't even care if they match at this point. They both.
It'll work. Genuinely, it'll be just fine. They allow
it, so you might as well spec it.
And we did do some off-roading with the Rivian and the Lightning, and we popped the tire on the Lightning, which honestly, it shouldn't have been off-road in the first place, if you ask me. Actually, the tire popped going through a puddle, so that was like pure chance. Like, he must have just hit the one stone in the bottom of this puddle because everyone went through the same puddle, including Kyle on his 22s. But the Lightning on its 22s hit it just right to where it gashed the sidewall somehow. So put on the spare wheel, which was not matching at all. It was like a 20 inch or a 19 inch. So it's pretty funny. but yep, I took it to the Ford dealer here in town, like in Thornton. None of them had ever seen a Lightning. Like, you show up to a Ford dealer in a Lightning right now, you're royalty. Everyone flocks. Like, this thing's electric.
I can't believe they didn't have training. Seems bad.
I don't know how. I mean, Ford is such a big company. Like, you know, a lot of the higher end brands will fly their people around the country to destinations for, you know, like you know, like if you're a Land Rover Ranger or Porsche, maybe Mercedes, BMW, then like your dealer training looks a lot like a press launch where there's a beautiful location, lots of cars, and then a whole thing that you run people through. But at Ford, you know, on their scale, they may not have anything like that. They might have it, maybe an optional one at times, I would think. But
I bet
a lot of people were excited to see that because it's probably the first time anyone at those locations had a chance to see a physical one.
I think they do demos. Like they have someone from corporate drive one in there for like 3 hours of training on it or something.
Yeah. That's what you need.
Not enough time.
We did some off-roading
too. Well, I did some off-roading.
Yeah, in the GX, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about that.
We pushed it this Sunday. I pushed it the furthest we have ever gone in the truck on the trails near us in Uwari, National Park. We found the new, I set a new personal best of like roll angle without ending up flipping over. It was 36 degrees. Don't want to get near that again. That was a lot. Feels like a lot when you're in a car.
It looks so great.
This thing is mostly stock. I've played with the air suspension in the rear to get about maybe an inch at most out of the back. And then we put some basically spacers in the front for an inch and a half at most of clearance. Probably more like an inch with that suspension that's on it. And it's on stock size tires. And it just, we had to work. I had a great spotter for some of this. And we took it on some of the most difficult trails. So normally you're running into very heavily modified Jeeps with all the differential locks. And it really goes to show how capable a standard, this is not a standard issue, but like how capable some cars are out there that you don't really think about. It always surprises me. Everyone talks about off-road hardware, off-road upgrades. But whether it's a Rivian, this GX, or, like a Wrangler or something, like the capability that you can get out of a vehicle from the factory these days is shocking. How much you can do. Like, here are things that I pointed it at. I'm like, no, that's not going to work. This makes no sense. And then you get out, you walk up, and you're like, it makes less sense now. And then you just kind of inch at it and have someone like tell you where to go, and you end up getting through it, which is amazing.
Yep.
But that was quite a bit of fun.
Things can be so good. Off the factory, I got the itch for off-roading a little bit just from our time with the Broncos and a little bit with the Rivian. And I was with Time in his GX and did some fun stuff when he broke his power steering. but I should mention I took the baby Bronco off-road and had so much fun. And I'm convinced that is like my Bronco. Like the one I would want is the two-door. And actually it reinforced my imagination that I would like the smaller engine with the manual. I just don't love the big engine. I mean, I like it, but it's like it felt like the four-door one with the automatic needs the big engine, but the manual small engine is over 1,000 pounds lighter and with a two-door. So that's significant. Yeah. And I feel like it would scoot just fine with that engine. And
I'm not sure what the gearing on those are like. I know they've got like a special off-road gear on.
Yeah, it's a 7-speed.
In addition to the low range box, I think.
Yes, so it's a 7-speed, so really a 6-speed with a crawler gear, and then with that you can also use 4 high, 4 low. I don't know if it has 4 auto, I don't remember. And then 2 high with all the different goat modes and locking differentials, sway bar disconnect, like you can do everything. Yeah, if you have the Sasquatch. So this was a wild track with the Sasquatch, and it was just everything I needed. And even the sound system I think sounded a little bit better with the two-door, just the way the acoustics worked in the car. Still not fantastic. Like it's B&O, which is good. I mean, I think it sounds a little bit better in like the F-150, which maybe that's because that's their
expensive. I was gonna say Wranglers suffer from the same thing. Like they don't ever sound that good, especially when you take the top off of anything. Like it's game over at that point. Even my Miata, which had built-in Bose speakers in the headrests, like you could actually hear them, and they did make a difference, but still it was nothing crazy with the top.
Actually the Lightning had speakers in the headrests, and it was great, like with the windows down, the roof open. Like I was like, oh, I could blast stuff and hear it really clearly because it was just putting a little bit of the highs through the speaker headrest, and it was really solid. But the Rivian sound system was fantastic, the Meridian, but I'm missing hearing the Bowers and Wilkins from a Volvo. So you got to get that out here
every day now, and it's just amazing. Like,
when I first heard that, I was like, I'm hearing music that I've known for years, and I'm hearing it again for the first time.
Yeah.
to sound infinitely cheesy, that's the reality.
The instruments sound just different. You hear like a different tone that was taken at this part, or a mistake even. It's kind of
yeah.
crazy how clear.
Exactly. Yeah. By the way,
Jordan, just for pause real quick, when you were talking about the baby Bronco, for a second, I thought you were talking about the Bronco Sport. And I was like, that's very unlike Jordan to say he wants to own that car.
I feel like I already did. I had the Ford Escape,
yeah.
which is basically the Bronco Sport. Yeah, I actually don't like how people call that the baby one, because it's much longer than the two-door Bronco. So it's like the two-door Bronco is physically the smallest Bronco. But then the Broncos, it's just a weird lineup. Honestly, I don't love that the Bronco Sport exists, but at the same time, I appreciate it. And I think maybe it'll validate the fact that most people don't do this kind of off-roading where you're literally like teetering on two or three wheels. A lot of people will buy off-roading vehicles and then just kind of mall crawl or yep. soft road, you know, forest fire trail type things, mm-hmm. fire roads. So, which is fine. Like a lot of trails don't require a crazy car, but this makes people a bit more confident, I think, which is good because it's true. Like I took my Escape on some roads I don't feel like it should have been on, and it handled it fine. So it's fine. I'm glad. I think it looks okay too, actually, in certain specs.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I think the Bronco Sport looks
if good. I was in the market for that size of an SUV, I think it's actually one of the ones I would consider strongly, because I've seen videos of it off-road and it's incredibly capable. So,
yeah. There's so many things I've driven. Oh, I finally experienced the C40 with the Fjord blue exterior and interior. Just a the lot blue of blue. Yes, it
I
looked
like
so
it.
Dumb until I sat in it and I was like, wait, this works.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's just better than just seeing all black, like dark. And then it's like only goes up to the door panels. So it's not like super, you don't notice it all the time sitting in the car, but you definitely get hints of it. I like it. I thought the blue carpet looked a lot better in person than the photos. It looked really dark in the photos.
Yeah.
A little bit brighter in person.
Yeah. So it's good, and I mean, it drove
and it's
almost identical.
Maybe lighting school.
That was cool, mm-hmm. yeah. But it drove almost identical to the XC40. I mean, it's just a good car. I don't know. It exists for a certain niche. I get why people were like, "Oh, it's overpriced," or "Oh, it's got a weird UI." But
I get it. But I think it works. I love the back end of it, and it has amber turn signals. That's all that matters.
Yeah. And the lighting as it turns on, like the rear lighting signature thing it does, is just super cool. Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm a fan. What else? Oh my gosh. I was in Texas for a while. I should pause. I was in Nashville for a wedding, and my friend Justin got married. He loves Iron Man just like I do. So he, of course, got an Audi R8, and I had to, I know it was a rough job, but I had to drive it to the ceremony or the reception, like to be the getaway car. And I was smitten with the mid-engine-ness. Mm-hmm. And it was only the V8. It was a Roadster, had Quattro. It was just
Roadster, though. That's good.
It was excellent. I mean, pulling up, he had like the Avengers theme song lead perfectly into Back in Black, just true to like the whole Iron Man theme. And it was like the best send off I've ever seen. And seeing him take off in the rain with the top down, I was a little nervous, although the Quattro system is fantastic. So he stayed straight, more or less.
Good.
But then I went to Texas and, went to Austin, saw some of the like self-driving cars, which was kind of weird seeing no one in the driver's seat.
Which company is in Austin right now? Is that Argo or no? That's
yes, Argo.
Okay.
Yep. So then they weren't doing. I tried so hard to like let. I wanted to like review the car basically, even if I couldn't sit in it, and they're not letting press do that yet. But I did get to have coffee with the the main marketing person. So that was like a connection. So I hope that leads to a drive as soon as we're able, allowed to, because I'd love to be driven around by Nolan.
they run around in Fords right now, I think.
It was a Escape is the one I saw. Escape Hybrid. And then I went up to Plano to Toyota headquarters for the Sequoia first drive event, but they were also showing off, you know, the new GR Corolla Mizuno or something like that. So I got to go around track with that, drove every GR and LC or RC type, or like F Sport car, not F Sport, I guess, like the actual F, RCF, IS
performance. I don't know, actually.
Whatever the GR and like Toyota Lexus performance cars on track, Eagles Canyon Raceway, which is phenomenal track. I would consider a membership there if I lived in the area. Even though I hear it's really expensive.
It's one of the country club places almost, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got a great restaurant. And, you know, some people live on a golf course. I'd live on a racetrack, you know, teach their own. I made the mistake of thinking, oh, I'll learn the track by doing a ride along with one of Lexus's GT race drivers. So he took me in like the GT RCF, which was completely stripped out, caged, tuned beyond belief, like 800 horsepower or something. And instead of learning the track, I was just busy trying to remember to breathe and like think about holding on to something. So I learned nothing. I did like backwards. I did like LC 500 and like IS 500 and RCF and backed all the way down to GR 86. And after driving turbo Supras and then a GR 86, you're like, oh, where's my turbo? And I just. I don't think I love boxer engines either, which I think will maybe disappoint a lot of people, but it's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
What about when there's six of them?
That could change something heavily.
I know what you mean, though. The NA boxer motors are a little coarse.
NA four-cylinder boxer just... maybe four-cylinder boxer engine. I don't know. I haven't driven enough of them. It's just I didn't love the GR86. It's not for me. But I think it's still something I would recommend to a lot of people. It's just not quite my cup of tea. I saw the manual Supra. They didn't let us drive it. That was the biggest disappointment of the week, was seeing it and not getting in it.
Why didn't bring it?
It's freaking...
bring it if you were...
Yeah. Everyone's like,
it's like they're teasing you with forbidden fruit. Like, I feel like in America, as car enthusiasts, we always get from manufacturers, because like, look at this cool thing, like the new M3 Touring. Oh yeah, but you don't get that.
Yep.
I want to see one of shocker.
Them. Yeah. Oh yeah, I can put them. Well, they're not in production yet, I don't think so.
Maybe we'll should see be a on lot the
car
of,
hit list.
A lot of fun. Yeah, German vehicles.
You guys have probably never seen an M5 Touring.
Nope.
That should go on the hit list.
I like this hit list concept. This is good.
Yeah, it's growing as the podcast goes. It's gross.
M5 Touring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many good cars over there. We'll come up with more. If you want to see cars, hit us up. Leave comments, tweet at us.
Love like to see a tweet. And I don't know. I mean, we'll be in Germany already, but I'd love if anyone is seeing this, go ahead and tweet at any of us some cars. Give us a scavenger hunt. Why not? We'll find it for you.
Exactly.
That's try a good, and drive it if you can.
Yeah, that's a good segue to kind of end this out. I'm on Twitter at Jordan_Schiefer. Got Mike at M_Breeling. Ben is Benji_OOS. Of course, Kyle is at It's Kyle Connor. And we have... you know, out of spec as Twitter as well. Tweet at any of those what cars you want to see in Europe, because the day this goes live is the day we are arriving in Germany. So let us know what you want to see, and hit us up with your comments, questions. You know, we're trying to like bottle feed a bunch of things into one. We'll keep podcasting throughout Europe as well, just trying to get as much information. I feel like we get to share a lot of, like, background stuff that maybe doesn't make the final cut of an actual video on the podcast. So it's a fun BTS platform, fun time to hang out. And yeah, hoping to do some live podcasts here in the future soon as well. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you all next time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.